And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
And here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Paul Williams. So we're going to be talking about some of the most incredible things. Now, you would think that if there were terrorist training camps in the United States where they were training ex-felons with automatic weapons, not semi-automatic weapons, but automatic weapons, that everyone in America would know about it. If it's not one, but many of these Muslim radical training camps, military training camps, you would think that, of course, the military would be right on top of that. The police would be on top of it. You would think you'd be reading about it, certainly in the New York Times, or hearing about it, certainly on 60 Minutes or 2020 or 48 Hours. But unfortunately, you're not, and you're not going to hear about our current guests. Book, Crescent Moon Rising, and yet it's a vitally important book that you should get. We carry the book. We think it's important at least you understand what's going on, even if other people don't. Paul, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and why don't you give our listeners the background of your research and what you found?
Well, Dr. Stan, it's a pleasure to be with you again. I have been... Throughout most of my life, an investigative journalist. I was the editor and publisher of a newspaper in northeastern Pennsylvania, and then I ended up working with the FBI for years and wrote some books on the connection between organized crime and international terrorism. And in my travels, I came upon a place called Islamberg, which is between Hancock and Deposit, New York. It's in a very rural area. You turn on Rood's Creek Road and up Hancock, and you go up the mountain toward the reservoir that feeds New York City, and there it is. There used to be a sign there. It's no longer there. It said, "Welcome to Islamberg." And if you try to enter Islamberg like I did the first time, you came upon a sentry post with some armed guards. And they were very nice, but they said, "You can't go in here. This is a closed community." And I asked them why they were armed, and they said, "Well, we have to protect ourselves here because there are a lot of people who don't like Muslims, and we just have to protect ourselves." Well, I talked to some of the neighbors around there, and they started complaining about gunfire, especially over the weekends, and explosions. And the rat-tat-tat-tat-tat of semi-automatic weaponry and the planes coming in and people with dignitaries from Saudi Arabia arriving at Islamberg on a regular basis. So I went back there. And again, I was denied access, but I entered the property by going through the woods and heading toward the eastern perimeter. And there I saw obstacle courses. I saw firing ranges with school buses, old school buses that they were firing on. And I came upon underground bunkers. where most of the training was taking place. Well, I went back again and again and again, and I started to find out more and more and more about the place. Once again, always entering the property illegally, but always photographing what I saw. One occasion, I came upon a graveyard, and there were bodies. There was a fresh body buried there, and photographed that. Went back, called the police. Nothing happened. Spoke to some other people, once again, about the neighbors, and they said, we've been complaining about this for, you know, for years and years and years, and nothing has taken place. Islamberg was established in 1980, and then I discovered that it was founded and established by a guy by the name of Sheikh Mubarak Jilani, a Pakistani, and he first arrived in Brooklyn. And at Brooklyn, he took over the Yassin Mosque, and he recruited a lot of young black men who were disenfranchised or felt they were disenfranchised by the American system. And he created a group called the Muslims of the America, also known as Jamaat al-Fukra. And a lot of them ended up in jail. And when they got out of jail, he sent them to Islamberg for further training, in guerrilla warfare. And I discovered when I first came upon the place that a lot of the recruits from at Islamberg who came from the prison system and were not supposed to be handling a weapon at all, but were firing weapons on a regular basis, were sent out to Pakistan at the end of their training. And from Pakistan, they made their way to Afghanistan to take part in the Holy War. And at that point, I realized that these people were no longer firing and taking place in the Holy War against the Soviets, as they had been throughout the 1980s, but they were engaging in the Holy War against us in Afghanistan, and they were firing against our troops. Well, I kept going back to Islamberg, and I found out that over the course of the years, the jihadists who were trained there came back to Islamberg with several Pakistani wives. So that the complex now became heavily when the recruits were off fighting in Afghanistan, is occupied by these women from Pakistan, and once again I photographed all that, complained to the authorities, called my friends at the FBI, nothing happened. Then I discovered that the complex like Islamberg, that similar complexes were established throughout the country. One compound that I visited shortly thereafter was in Red House, Virginia, not far from Appomattox. And when I went there, I didn't see a Muslim in sight. There was a sign there, Muslims of the Americas. There was an old woman. It was a very hot day in a woolen burqa. I don't know how she could live with just, you know, the slits for the eyes. And she said, everybody's gone. All the men are gone. They left here years ago. Well, I stayed around the place. I walked around the camp that was there, and I couldn't see anybody. And I still stayed around, and the old woman pulled out a cell phone. And from this place that looked like an outhouse in the middle of the field, all these Islamic men started to emerge in full Islamic attire. And sure enough, they were being trained in an underground bunker. That's why they weren't visible. And the bunkers there are massive. And lo and behold, in the blink of an eye, I was surrounded with them. And I told them that I had permission from Dar al-Hijra in Falls Church to visit the complex, and that permitted me to get out of there alive. But after I left Red House, I discovered there were complexes like that throughout southern Virginia. And from there, I found out there was another complex in York, South Carolina, called Holy Islamville. Once again,
hold that thought, Paul. Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power.
Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, and this really is an incredible story, but then Paul has been at this for a long time. He certainly has been to these places, been to these training camps, Muslim terrorist training camps right here in America. Paul, pick up the story.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I, like I said, I found them. I found the next one in New York, South Carolina, and then more camps in Commerce, Georgia. And then I discovered that these camps had been established throughout the country. There were somewhere between 45 to 60 of them that I could locate. And at all these camps, there was an arsenal of weaponry. Training was taking place for guerrilla warfare. The people trained at these camps were being sent to Pakistan, and they were fighting the American forces. Now, then later I discovered that some of the Beltway, the Beltway snipers, the two Beltway snipers, John Allen Muhammad and Malvol, Lee Boy Malvol, sought refuge in these camps. I discovered that Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, was affiliated with them. That many of the planners of the 1993 attack on the World Trade Center in New York were affiliated with Jamaat al-Fukra. That the group was responsible for more terror attacks on American soil than Al-Qaeda, than any other terror group in the world. They had firebombed buildings. They had killed police officers. They have kidnapped people. They have been involved in grand-scale theft and counterfeiting. But once again, nothing is done about this group. But I have to say this, Dr. Stan, at this point. I'm sounding like I'm the sole hero of this story, and that's not true. There's an investigator by the name of Doug Hagman from New York State, who is probably the most fearless guy I know. And he, along with me, even preceding me, has uncovered an awful lot about this, about Jamaat al-Fukra and its workings. He has reported it, and he's an unsung hero. He doesn't get any recognition at all. But we have gone, to, and when I traveled, once again, I did not travel alone. I had people with me. And once again, they provided incredible support for me. A guy by the name of Michael Rash, who was formerly with Mossad, a photographer by the name of Pat Walsh. But we reported everything to the cops, including we talked to the guy who had built the underground bunkers in Islamberg. We brought him forward. But once again, nothing was done. Then we discovered that in the 1980s, when Sheikh Jilani first established these camps and when he came over here, that he was being paid by the Reagan administration, that he was being funded by the CIA. At that time, that might have made a drop of sense going back in 1979, 1980, when he came here, because there was the war against the Soviet invaders in Afghanistan, and we wanted to bring down the Soviets. So we figured that we would support the Mujahideen. So this guy, Jilani, was receiving millions and millions of dollars to establish these camps. It was done us. That made a drop of sense to me, a drop, not much. But why is it still going on? And why are these camps still training jihadists? And why are we allowing them to go to Pakistan and then from Pakistan to go into Afghanistan and to wage war against our own troops? That is the $64 question that I have not been able to answer. But to this day, it's still going on in these compounds. They're all controlled by the Muslims of the Americas, which they have formed a nonprofit 501c3 tax-exempt corporation. So if anybody listening, any jihadists listening, can make a tax-free contribution to the Muslims of the Americas, and they can buy more weaponry to kill more of our troops. But nothing has been done. By the way, Jelani, who established these camps, according to all investigators, was responsible for the beheading of Daniel Pearl in Pakistan. That's where he's from. So that's just one part of the story of Islam in America, that these radical compounds have been planted throughout the country. And this group, once again, has been responsible for more terror attacks on our soil than any other group in history. Almost 90 times more than the Ku Klux Klan, and yet nobody knows about
them. Well, now, what happens when you report this to the FBI, and I know you have?
Well, if you report it to the state police, they will immediately turn it over to the FBI because it's no longer a state matter, because a lot of the activity that's taking place crosses state lines. It goes from the prison system. The prisoners many of them are in New York State, but some of the prisoners come from prisons in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Connecticut, and they make their way to Islamburg and the other compounds. So it's really an FBI matter. So if you approach the FBI on it, they will take your notes and say, oh yeah, the place is under surveillance, but they're never shut down. As a matter of fact, some FBI officers visited Islamburg several years ago, and they weren't there to shut it down. They were there to take part in a picnic to celebrate an Islamic Boy Scout unit that had been established there.
Well, then the story is really so amazing, and people will say it can't be true. I mean, how could this be going on and the American people not have any idea that there are active Islamic terrorist training camps here in America where many ex-felons are being trained in the use of automatic or semi-automatic weapons? It doesn't make sense, Paul, and of course I know that. I know that.
One part that everyone, all of your listeners, one of these camps, one of these compounds, was sheltering some criminals. It was in Buena Vista, Colorado, and it was raided by the state police in Colorado. And in Buena Vista, they uncovered exactly what I'm talking about. And you can look it up on the internet. It made news throughout Colorado. They discovered that it was a jihadi training camp, that the inhabitants of Buena Vista training were being sent to Pakistan. They discovered in the compound fully automatic weapons. I'm talking about AK-47s, Kalashnikovs, semi-automatic weapons. They found counterfeit documents, including driver's licenses, passports. They discovered underground bunkers, landing strips, obstacle courses, everything that I'm talking about. It was all part of the news. And then by chance, they raided another compound, but this was owned because it was sheltering some criminals in Valladolid, California, at a place that used to be a haven for hippie drug culture back in the 1960s. I think it's called Sinanon, but now it's known as Valladolid, the city of God, and there they find the same thing, the weaponry, the underground bunkers, and they discovered it's all part of a network that the people who were dwelling in, living in Valladolid and in Buena Vista constantly travel back and forth to these other training camps, and they went to Pakistan. And, I mean, all this is a matter of record. It's nothing that not like an Einstein uncovering a secret, you know, a secret of physics or a law of physics that people weren't aware of. It's taking place. And the ironical thing is that right now, these jihadis are not fighting in our military. They're not fighting for truth and justice in the American way. They're fighting our troops, and they're mowing them down in Afghanistan, and we're allowing it.
And that is the thing. The government knows exactly what's going on. At least the invisible government knows what's going on. And after all, you have to have an enemy, ladies and gentlemen, so you can rally the people behind the government that's protecting us from the enemy that they are creating. Incredible. Could this really be true? Well, certainly, Paul, you've been putting this out, your book, Crescent Moon Rising. We do carry. We think it's an important book. Have you had the opportunity to get on to any of the major media to tell this incredible story?
Well, what's happening in our media, I mean, if you talk about the rise of Islam throughout the country, a lot of people aren't really aware of that. They don't think it's a significant development. I don't know why. They think that multiculturalism is a wonderful thing and diversity is a wonderful thing, and we're experiencing a transformation that's beneficent and salubrious and wonderful for all Americans. They don't realize how drastically this country is being transformed before our eyes by leaps and bounds. For instance, every year, like Islam right now is the second largest religion in the United States, not Judaism, Islam. According to the New York Times, there are at least, this is going back to 2008, there were at least 7 million Muslims living here. But, of course, by now, I would say they're well over 10 million. They have more kids than Christians or Jews or agnostics or any other group. More kids than Mormons. They're arriving here with visas at the rate of 115,000 a year, and along with that, over 80,000 refugees, Islamic refugees, are arriving here. That's all that. Combine those figures, you get about 200,000 every year arriving here, and they have all the Islamic women have at least 3 kids. So you just do the math and figure out where the future of America is. Most of the people who arrive here, the Muslims, of course, gravitate to other Muslims. So if there's an Islamic community in Brooklyn, that community will continue to burgeon and grow and prosper. If they're in Cincinnati, once again, that community, if they're in Dearborn or Atlanta or L.A., you're going to see that. In L.A., as a matter of fact, around the King Saud Mosque, all the property for about a quarter mile in every direction is owned by Muslims. Of course, it's very good for people who had property in that section because it creates a boom. But a lot of the people in the hinterlands and in the suburbs haven't really realized that. They think, oh, well, there are really not that many Muslims. Yeah, we see some in the airports. We see some people, women in burqas, you know, and we see them in our major cities. But they're not really here like this guy is talking about. But they are here, and it's transformational. And if I mention to anybody on the major networks. That there's a religious and sociological event taking place that's probably the most significant event of our times, and you should cover it. They will pay no attention to it. They don't want to isolate the Muslims. They don't want to say anything that's against Islam for a variety of reasons. One, the Saudis are major shareholders of many of our companies. They own in the last 2 or 3 years they've invested over $100 billion in the American Stock Exchange in our businesses. They're the second largest shareholder in the News Corporation, which controls Fox News. They control many of our movie companies. They control many of our news outlets. So naturally, they have a say in what's being presented on what's being disseminated to the American people. and they don't want anything negative about Islam. Another thing is that if you do, like I do, if you even speak and they assume that it's you're speaking as you're spreading Islamophobia, you're going to be charged with a hate crime and you're going to be sued. That happened to me. So it's very, very difficult to get this message out. You can talk about what's going on with the Muslims of the Americas. I can talk to what's going on with the Gulen movement, which is equally nefarious. I can talk about what's going on at many of these radical mosques that are funded purely by Saudis and spread the most vehemently anti-American rhetoric every week at the Friday prayer services. But once again, you cannot get this message out. And I really found it with this new book more than any time in the past. In the past, I used to appear on MSNBC. I was on ABC. I was on NBC. I was on Fox. I was on every major news outlet. That's going back to 7 or 8 years ago. No more. I used to be invited to speak to Christian groups about the rise of Islam and the threat that constitutes. No more.
Hold that thought, Paul. If you have a question, our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
At Ram, we only build trucks. That's why there's only one true truck month. So it's no surprise that the new Ram 1500 has been named the 2013 Motor Trend Truck of the Year and the 2013 North American Truck of the Year. It features an available Torque Flight 8-speed transmission that achieves best-in-class 25 mpg highway and a 100,000-mile 5-year powertrain warranty. Come see the new Ram 1500 at the only true truck month, Ram. Trade in your vehicle and get $7,700 in total values on Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 equipped with a Hemi V8 engine. Standard pickup class, EPA estimated V6 4x2. See dealer for details and a copy of limited warranty. Values include $4,500 total cash allowances and $3,200 Bighorn package discount. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. Trade-in vehicle must be registered to qualified buyer for at least 30 days. Residency restrictions apply. Offer ends 4-1. Ram and Hemi are registered trademarks of Chrysler Group LLC.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Paul Williams. He's an investigative reporter, actually has a PhD. He basically has written a number of books, but we carry several of them, but we're carrying this book referred to this morning, Crescent Moon Rising, about the Islamic terrorist training camps here in the United States.
But, of course, you're not going to hear about this. Unfortunately, that's why I do what I do. Our telephone number is 877-254-7524. That's 877-254. If you have a question, why, give us a call. And, of course, other book goes into other aspects. It goes into a gentleman named Gulen. Giuliani. Is that his name, Giuliani?
Jelani.
Jelani.
Dr. Stan, I appreciate it. I have trouble with the names, too. Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jelani.
He's
head of the Jamaat al-Fukra.
Right. And then, of course, Gulen. Who is Gulen and what part does he play?
Fethullah Gulen is a guy who was kicked out of his native Turkey in 1998 for sedition, for trying to overthrow the Turkish government, which, of course, at that time was very secular. If you were an Islamic woman, you could not wear a hijab in Turkey. There were bars throughout the country. There were American entertainment nightly on the televisions and in the movie theaters. It was just like going. You wouldn't know any if you visited Istanbul. You couldn't see any difference between that culturally and many Western European countries. Well, he tried to establish a Islamic republic in Turkey to overthrow the government, so they threw him out of there on sedition. Well, they pressed charges against him, and he fled. And he made his way to Pennsylvania, where he now lives. This is important for the story. Gulen stayed here and remains here right now, once again in Sellersburg, Pennsylvania, in the Pocono Mountains. He lives in a mountain fortress surrounded with Turkish guards, once again in a compound that's heavily guarded, and where a helicopter circles property constantly looking for anybody who dares to intrude. But Gulen, the FBI tried to talk the State Department into sending him back to Turkey. They said, this guy shouldn't stay here. He's the most dangerous Muslim, according to all accounts, in the world. That he's a militant Islamist, and he's dangerous. Homeland Security agreed. They tried to deport Mr. Gulen, but at his hearing, permanent residency hearing in Philadelphia, members of the State Department and members of the CIA said, this guy is a wonderful educator. He has to stay here. Well, and he can contribute an awful lot to American society and American culture. Of course, Gulen has a third grade education and doesn't speak English, so he can contribute very little to our culture. But in any case, this is the important thing. During the court hearing in Philadelphia regarding his residency, it came out that he has between $25 to $30 billion. I mean, we're talking about, a guy that's richer than Bill Gates, a Turkish guy with a third grade education, who's living in the Pocono Mountains. I mean, this was newsworthy just in itself. But you got to realize he has so much money. And let me go back to what happened when he first came here. He used the money that he had to create the Justice and Development Party in Turkey. That party toppled the secular government. It brought in Erdogan, who's their prime minister, Abdul Gul, who's the president of Turkey. All these people are affiliated with the Gulen movement. He, with that money, he established madrasas, schools throughout Central Asia, all to unite all these newly created Russian republics into a new world order, into the restoration of the Ottoman Empire. So all these Turkmenistan, Kurdistan, all these state countries would join together with Turkey in creating a new order. With that money, he also has established charter schools throughout the United States, and there are at least 150 of them right now operating. All of them are funded by U.S. taxpayers, and according to the second in command of the Gulen movement, these schools are necessary to indoctrinate students in the tenets of Islam. By example, not by directly teaching. By the way, in these charter schools that have been established throughout the United States, the teachers are brought in from Turkey with H-1 visas, and the administrators are all Turkish. So while American teachers cannot get a job, these charter schools that are funded by U.S. taxpayers are filled with Turkish teachers that we're importing. If you knew the names of these schools, like in Arizona, they're known as the Sonoran Academies. In Arkansas, it's the Lisa Academies. In California, it's the Magnolia Science Schools. In Florida, it's the Fulton Sunshine Schools. In Missouri, it's the Frontier Schools of Excellence. In Ohio, it's the Horizon Science Schools. In Oklahoma, it's the Dove Science Academies. In Texas, it's the Harmony. I could go on. You would never, ever think these are Turkish schools whose purpose is to indoctrinate students by tebling, by timsel, by giving them role models so that they can serve a purpose in the creation of the new Islamic world order. But that's what they do. And once again, these schools and Gulen have been allowed to persist in these activities unabated, and they still are. Gulen has been championed by Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, so all saying how wonderful this guy is, and that he's helping to educate our people and to make us more diverse, and that he's a wonderful asset to our way of life. They don't speak of the fact that he has toppled the Turkish government, that he's creating, he's uniting all these countries into a new world order, and they also don't bring about the fact that Gulen receives all these funding. The point is, where does he get the $25 billion? This guy, let's face it, is semi-illiterate. He's not an educator. This guy didn't come from a very wealthy family. This guy is really a non-entity in his own right. He's never written anything of substance or said anything of substance. Where did he get the $25 billion? Well, if you go through the court records, you're going to find that he received all that funding from the CIA. That is what's telling. And then if you dig further into the Gulen movement throughout Central Asia, you'll find that his schools and almost all of his schools, there are CIA operatives, all helping Gulen create this new Islamic world order. And it's taking place in our country. We're allowing it. If people doubt what's being the contents of a book called Brotherhood of Darkness, a guy by the name of Stanley Monteith, all they need to do is take a look at what's taking place with the Gulen movement, because that's crystallization of everything that you will find in that book.
And what we're doing is creating an Islamic enemy. We are trying to reinstitute the Ottoman Empire. This is madness, ladies and gentlemen. And yet, of course, tragically, it's true. That's why the book Crescent and Rise is so vitally important. We'll be back to this call, 877-254-7524.
Sentus, the uniformed people in Greeley, is saluting the police, firefighters, paramedics, and 9/11 dispatchers who work in our community. We thank them for doing a great job trying to keep our area a better place to live, shop, and raise a family. We realize their job is dangerous and sometimes thankless. This message from Sentus, the uniformed people in Greeley. They can be reached at 970-352-2233. On the air because they care. Named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America. 970-352-2233. Sentus, the uniformed people.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
What? Good, clean, delicious water that's alkaline high pH that I can make in my own home? And I don't have to carry in all those heavy bottles or taste the water. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. With a Kangen water machine at your fingertips, you and your family can have clean, delicious, ionized, alkaline high pH Kangen water. And so much more. Change your water, change your life. Call Rebecca Starnes at 720-209-9017. Again, 720-209-9017.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Dr. Stan, this is Morning Paul Williams. His book, Crescent Moon Rising, that's my contacting us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Paul, do you have a website or a place that people can go to get more information on this subject?
I really don't, Dr. Stan. What I have done is, you know, I write books. I like my recent book. I appear on Radio Liberty and the American Freedom Network. But no, I don't maintain a website because I did for a while, but it attracts too many crazies, and I just don't do it anymore.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, we carry the book because we think it is vitally important for you in the audience to know this and to help us get the word out. How could these things be going on and get the conspiracies of silence from the media? Well, of course, we've told you many times, the media is rigidly controlled. You can be thankful you have a program such as this and that you have a station such as the American Freedom Network where you can actually get the information that is being actively concealed from the American people. Well, anyway, as far as Gulen is concerned, he has a militarized fortress in Pennsylvania. They have armed guards there. They have circling helicopter to make sure nobody's sneaking in on them. And they have set up their schools across America. They've set them up, thousands of them, in the Near East, the Middle East, where they're indoctrinating the youth in this Turkish culture, in the process of reconstituting the Ottoman Empire, one of the finest enemies that American money could buy, but you have to have an enemy. Would that be a fair appraisal of it? Can you think of any other logical explanation for what's going on, Paul?
Well, I can't, but I mean, and what you said is exacerbated by the fact that the most radical mosque in our country is probably the Farouk Mosque in Brooklyn. That's where the planners for the 1993 attack on the World Trade Center planned and masterminded everything. That's where blind Sheikh Rahman presided. They hit on Meir Kahane, the rabbi, was engineered there. The plans to blow up all the bridges in New York and all the leading structures, including the FBI headquarters in New York, all that took place at the Farouk Mosque. The mosque has raised, by 2002, the mosque had raised over $24 million for al-Qaeda. Now, if you look at the Farouk Mosque, it looks like a rundown second-story junk shop. It's nondescript. It's on 524 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. But in any case, that one mosque was the place where the first cell of Al Qaeda was planted in the United States by Azam, the leader of Al Qaeda. But this mosque has prospered and has spread the word of radical Islam since the 1970s. Now, this is the amazing thing, Dr. Stan, that I want to get to. For years and years and years, that mosque, now you got to realize, the most anti-American mosque in the country has received over $2 million a year from our government. That's just
$1 million a year. Under what auspices?
Well, you know, it all goes back to, it began in 1979. They were recruiting Ackerman from Brooklyn to take part in the holy war against the Soviets. So since there was a recruiting station for the anti-Soviet activity in our covert activity in New York, that we were channeling over $2 million to that one nefarious mosque in Brooklyn, and that's only one mosque. And then I find support from our government for like the National Ummah movement. We talked already about Gulen. We talked about Jamaat al-Fukra. But there's another movement called the National Ummah movement that seeks to carve out Islamic enclaves in the heart of major American cities, like in the heart of Detroit, which they have done very successfully, in L.A., in Atlanta, and in Philadelphia, for instance. They've done it through an organization called the Universal Company, and the head of Universal Company is a guy by the name of Lukman Haag, but his real name is Kenny Gamble. He's a songwriter who wrote Love Train and Me and Mrs. Jones. He converted to Islam, became the head of the Universal Company, and he has received over $1 billion from the American government for a housing project and a redevelopment project in the heart of Philadelphia. Well, what you don't know is that project is to create an Islamic enclave where only Muslims can live, where non-Muslims are not allowed. The heart of the enclave contains a mosque, a madrasa, a community center, and around that area, all Islamic housing, paid for with our taxpayer money. So you got to, from everywhere that I looked around, you got, once again, Jamaat al-Fukra, that has over 45 to 60 training camps throughout the country, Gulen, that has over 150 madrasas throughout the country, radical mosques that are proliferated throughout the country, such as the Farouk Mosque in Brooklyn, the National Ummah Movement. All these groups and movements and agencies have received millions and millions and millions of dollars from the State Department, from the CIA, from American taxpayers. And it's madness. It's madness.
And we've spent over $1 trillion over in Iraq fighting the Muslim world. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it's either organized madness or something far more diabolical. Our guest is Paul Williams. His book is Crescent Moon Rising. Crescent Moon Rising, it's must reading. It's an important book, and we carry it. We think every American should read this, understand what's going on. Excellent sections of the book on Gulen and Ziani. Do you have a, well, I guess we're out of time. God bless, Paul. Thanks very much for being with us. Bye-bye.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments.
Well, Dr. Stan, I hope you enjoyed the program this morning with Paul Williams. He's a very, very significant writer, and his material you need to read. His book, Crescent Moon Rising, you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We send our boys halfway around the world to fight the radical Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, there are only 50 members of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, and yet we sent hundreds of thousands of troops rotated through there. If you doubt that this is true, basically, you go up on the Internet, type in YouTube, 60 Minutes, President Obama, 50 members of Al-Qaeda, something like that, and you'll see the interview with Steve Croft and President Obama on December 10th, the year 2010, and Steve Croft is saying to the president, why are you sending an additional 30,000 American troops to Afghanistan? We already have 60,000, and there's only 50 members of Al-Qaeda. And, of course, President Obama is saying, well, after all, they're plotting against us, and we have to protect America. Ladies and gentlemen, some of these members of Al-Qaeda are coming from training camps in America. We're sending them over there. Others are coming from the Muslim world. Well, this whole thing is as phony as a $3 bill. Who do you think's funding the rebels in Syria today? Who do you think funded the overthrow of Mubarak's government in Egypt and created the chaos under the new Islamic State in Egypt today? Now we're giving them 20 F-16 fighter planes, several hundred tanks, and all sorts of munitions. Why does the Egyptian army need all this? Well, basically so they can fight Israel, and then we'll defend Israel. You fund both sides. That's how you get a war going, and an awful lot of people have died. It's estimated 500,000 to 1 million people died in Iraq in a totally senseless war. But then, of course, all the wars are senseless. If you haven't read John Loftus's book on how we financed the Nazis, not only before but during World War II, the book is America's Nazi Secrets. You need to get my 4-CD set of interviews with John Loftus, who had a security clearance 3 levels above top secret. The book is, find me the 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews. The War Against the Jews, his regular book, is called America's Nazi Secrets. We carry his other book, The Secret War Against the Jews. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we do hope that you'll listen to our programs, so you can get them on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. We do, as you know, 5 hours of talk radio a day. That's RadioLiberty.com, the website. You can hear us on an iPad, an iPhone. You can listen to our afternoon program simply with a telephone. Your job is to get the information and to reach others. And then, of course, we hope that if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, you will. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope you'll tell others about our program, about our ministry. Read our articles at RadioLiberty.com. Watch the DVDs posted there. Look at the section on other videos on the web. Read our newsletters. And, of course, right now, William Grigg is writing the newsletters. They're excellent. But you can go back and read the newsletters I've written over the last 15 or more years. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Because behind everything are powerful spiritual and demonic forces. But please pray for the delivery of provision, protection, and so on. Tomorrow, same time, may the Lord do.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not."